him. Tay and Jay Show, Lante, Matt Carpenter. No. He's the third baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals.
That's right.
Mike Carpenter is with us, and Matt Wetterston. See, now we got Matt, Mike's.
That should help.
This is tricky.
It's going to make you confused.
It's going to be even worse.
But, Matt, you should feel good because he got your last name right, and here we are 3 months almost, and I still get called Matt Carpenter.
I still. And you know what's funny about that is that there would have been no problems with Mike Carpenter except the day that Mike started is the day we got the Cardinals caravan information. And on that, if as you recall, Matt, you were there, Matt Carpenter was coming. And ever since then, I cannot get him straight.
And he was the Cards, what, minor league player of the year last year, isn't that right?
Yes. Talked to him down in Jupiter. So a kid that, with David Freese uncertain with all these injuries, Matt Carpenter's a kid that I think is hoping maybe to get a look at some point this year to get up to the big club. But who knows? 359-COLE, 217-359-22. 55. That is how you can reach us. We are talking high school hoop, Big Ten hoop. We're going to talk a lot of stuff today. So give us a call if you've got anything on your mind and would like to chat with us. Matt Wetterston, I'm going to pick your brain. I know when I worked in TV, I was much closer to the high school scene because that's what I did full time, obviously. And I watched a lot of those games. And now, I'm not going to lie to you, my high school knowledge is lacking. And I'm hoping maybe I'll pick it up here in the future, obviously. But my question is, Centennial tomorrow night will play Morton. What do you think of that game? What do you think of the Centennial team? I mean, are they good enough to get by Morton?
You know, I don't know a ton about Morton. I used to work in Peoria, and they've always had a good team. I mean, Centennial's a solid club.
Right.
I don't know if they're quite as special as they have been in years past from what I hear, but, you know, Josh Piper does a great job down low, and they've got some other pieces like Corvon Butler. So, I mean, they certainly have a chance, and hey, keep it going. They've got the experience.
Sure.
You've been there before. I mean, how much does that help when you've got some senior leadership and you've been there before? So I'm not counting them out.
And the News Gazette did a great thing the other day about the Urbana and Champaign schools. Urbana not so much lately, but hopefully soon. The fact that these guys have done well in the last few years. So, like you say, the experience is there maybe for this Centennial team to take it the distance. Jarrett Brown, of course, you knew, coached at Unity. And now he's at Morton. So it'll be interesting. I think he used to coach at Centennial.
Interesting little side story there. Huh?
Absolutely. So it should be fun. So that game is tomorrow night. We also have Chrisman. That's tonight, right? You're going
I'm
to see
down
that?
There. They play at Redbird Arena.
Okay.
In Normal. So
very cool.
They're playing Deer Creek Mackinac, and this is a great story from this Cardinal team. I was down there yesterday, and they're all fired up. It's the first time I think they've won a sectional in 13 years, and this is a basketball program that's got incredible history.
A big time.
They've got one losing season, total season overall, in the last 46 years.
That's
so unbelievable.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Chrisman when we come back. We're going to hit the Wall Street, a town that I grew up near. So we'll talk Chrisman basketball next on the Tay and Jay Show. And it's not a big deal to mention snow because I don't know if the rest of Central Illinois is like this, but I have just literally come to the conclusion that we're never going to leave winter. Winter is going to be here the whole year, all right? So just deal with
We've been on the precipice of getting over winter. Yeah. We're right there with springtime.
You can't use a word like that on the Tay and Jay Show, no.
It's
all breakout anti-disestablishmentarianism or something like that. You don't fire back.
Yes.
Does that give me a half point for Friday before Jeremy even gets here? I'm down, right?
You know, you're down 5-3.
Yikes, what happened to me?
I'll give you the half point.
Okay. Just so he knows, he might be listening right now on his way back from interviewing the Illini basketball players. Bruce Weber had a conference today. Matt Wetterston here from Channel 3. And you were at that, right? You were there?
Oh, yeah.
Was Bruce pretty upbeat about the chances?
Yeah, I mean, I think he thinks his team's playing pretty well right now. And they've got Michigan, and he feels pretty confident they're in the NCAA tournament. But like you said earlier this season, if you count yourself in, you know, you could be some sorry cats, as he's put it. But I think he said today he'd be dumbfounded if they kind of weren't in, more or less. And that's kind of the general consensus.
What a funny world college basketball is when you can go 10-8 in the Big Ten 1 year and not make it, and go 9-9 the next year and feel very comfortable about making it. But a lot of that has to do with losing to Utah, Bradley, et cetera, last year. This year, better wins.
Well, better wins. We still have the bad losses.
We do.
I think the saving grace, I mean, just watching North Carolina Saturday night. I mean, winning the ACC, and all of a sudden you look at them being maybe a 2 seed. Gonzaga wins their tournament yesterday, so that's still a pretty decent win.
I did not know that. So they beat St. Mary's?
They beat St. Mary's, yeah.
Gonzaga's pretty good. I mean, Elias Harris is probably a pro. Robert Sacre, Stephen Gray seems like he's been there for about 12 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
and that team is going to be like a 10 seed or something.
Eight or nine, something like that.
Ooh. I mean, I you know, you wouldn't want to draw them if you're a number one seed because I'm sure you'll beat them, but
well, I mean,
they're experienced.
Illinois could be matched up with them. I mean, that could potentially be a first round matchup.
But you know what? I mean, if I'm a higher seeded team, I've been knocking on our team a lot this year, and I think for valid reasons because I think they did underachieve and they were just consistently inconsistent.
Right.
And the one thing though is that when this team's shooting well. And, of course, that's the big X factor, of course, you know. But if they're shooting well, if I'm a one or two seed, I'm a little bit wary going into that game. Because athleticism is not going, no team athletically is going to pound us. Physically, they may be tougher. But if we're making shots, that's a tough draw for someone.
I said earlier this year, maybe the first couple weeks we were on the air here, that I was looking forward to the second game of the NCAA tournament. Now, that was a long time ago when I thought the first game wouldn't really be an issue, but obviously that is going to be an issue now. We're going to be playing, Illinois will be playing a pretty tough team, I would think, that first game. But what I meant by that is the fact that Illinois can shoot. They can, if they play the perfect game, they can beat anybody, I think. But maybe not. Well, maybe not the top. Maybe not an Ohio State, et cetera.
Well,
who knows?
But they've been close with Ohio State and at Purdue, not at Ohio State so much. But no one has had a lot of success there. So they can compete against anyone. But at the same time, this team is still yet to win consecutive games since early January. So I feel like I'm jumping ahead a bit by thinking, you know what? If we get in that second game against a one or two seed, we're okay. I don't know about that.
Yeah, you can't jump ahead. The non-conference schedule is kind of Illinois' saving grace right now because you look at the teams they beat and played, you know, Texas, Carolina, Maryland. And Coach Weber even brought up today, he said Western Michigan won their league, Northern Colorado won their league. There was maybe one other school that won their league. Gonzaga,
Oakland,
of course.
Probably
Oakland.
Oakland
did. Yeah, exactly. So the non-conference schedule is good, and kudos to Illinois for going out and playing a non-conference schedule.
Sure,
like
I think
that.
Jay Price puts that together, and he does usually a really good job with that. So that is Matt Wetterston from WCIA Sports. He is with us today. So is Mike Carpenter. Jeremy is interviewing Illini basketball players and probably on his way back now. So he will join us soon on the Tay and Jay Show. We promised we'd talk some Chrisman. We'll just delve into it a little bit. Chrisman, of course, a team in Edgar County that, as you mentioned, Matt, give me that stat again, in 46 years?
Yeah, I think it's one losing season. Now, I was talking to their guys yesterday. I was down there, did a story on them, and that year that they had a losing season was somewhere around maybe 10 or 11 years ago, and it was like one game under 500.
Wow.
So potentially, they couldn't remember if that game was won or lost, if that final loss came in the opening round of the playoffs.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
So if it was indeed in the opening round of the playoffs, like you'd maybe think, that would mean it was a 500 regular season, which means they haven't had a below 500 regular season in almost half a century.
That's unreal. And when I was in school, graduating in 88 from Villa Grove, Chrisman had some great teams. I think 86 is when Walter Holt, Troy Hollingsworth, and a bunch of those guys made it to state. And we always used to say it's because of the Cal Chip Classic. It's because they're so good running. They don't have football. Now they co-op, right?
Yeah, they're playing with Georgetown Ridge.
Okay,
Georgetown Ridge from
back
Christmas.
Then, they didn't, which leads me to another school that doesn't have football, T-Town. Teutopolis is a team that I play a lot of softball against, T-Town guys. And when it comes to baseball and basketball, you just don't beat them.
Yeah, they're tough. That's one of the first things I learned here.
Oh, my.
Is they are tough.
And I believe it was 80... No, I think it was 86 when T-Town, the girls and boys, both won the state basketball championship. So there you go, Mike. I'm taking you back into some 80
notes over here.
Lore.
I'm taking notes.
So, yeah, and as you'll notice through all of that, not one time did I mention about how I won a regional or anything like that.
I'm right there with you. I wasn't exactly a stud athlete myself.
We always had pretty good teams at VG, but we always had Tuscola was really good in 87 and 88. They made it to state in 88, 89. So great basketball in this area, and it's fun to see a Chrisman team who will now face Deer Creek Mackinac, who's up near Pekin, Peoria.
D-Max, the Peoria area. Yeah,
okay, in that area. And so that's tonight. You're going to Redbird Arena. And then, of course, T-Town plays Pittsfield, which is a team over near Springfield, kind of the other Quincy Springfield area. So good basketball in Pittsfield too. So that should be interesting. It's funny how some of the traditionally strong programs a lot of times do end up kind of sifting through and making it year after year.
Yeah. Haven't watched T-Town play this year, but been told by athletic directors and other team and other people from our station who've covered them that, yeah, they are very good, to say the least.
They sound like they're good. I mean, you know, St. Thomas More upset Unity. They get T-Town then, and they upset Monticello too, right? St. Thomas
yeah,
More to
St.
win
Thomas
the regional.
More, that was an unreal story. Yeah. That was their first three-game winning streak of the season, by the way.
Wow.
What a time to get it in regionals.
That is
no kidding.
Time to get hot. But then they, I think, lost by 50 or so to T-Town, which shows you. And I know early in the year, Unity played T-Town and lost by about 20 or more. So obviously T-Town's got it figured out and rolling. Let's switch to the college gear, college sport real quick. And Bradley, Matt Wetterston from WCIA with us. And Matt, you are a Bradley grad. Jim Less let go as the Bradley coach. So who's next? You and I have a friend that could be, we think, next, and that's Paul Lusk from Purdue. We think he is a solid candidate, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I personally do. Now, it's hard for me here. Well, first of all, I probably can't call him a friend because I covered him.
Oh,
and
okay.
I wear two hats here.
Yeah.
You've got the media hat and you've got the alumni hat. So it's hard for me to kind of split the hairs here. No, I think Paul Lusk would be a tremendous fit. Everything I hear, I mean, he's going to be a head coach one day, and it's a matter of time, whether it's at Bradley or somewhere else. But that'd be purely speculation on my part. I just think he's a tremendous person, a tremendous coach. He's got ties to Illinois. He's got ties to Iowa. He's got ties to Indiana. He's got the Midwest recruiting roots. Done well at Purdue. Associate head coach there. Could probably bring that style of play that that Matt Painter has really carried on from the Gene Katie era. And you look at what Bruce Weber did at Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
I think that's something that, you know, if Bradley could get something started like that, would be awesome.
Well,
or even if you lose a coach, you continue with what you've got going.
Yeah, and Paul Lusk played under Rich Herron, and Lusk and Lowry both played under Herron in that kind of style that Weber plays, kind of the defensive style. And that's I know what Chris is trying to get done at Southern, and I think Paul can bring that here. I think he'd be excellent. He went to high school at Trenton Westland, went to Iowa, was best friends with Chris Street, who unfortunately was killed.
Right.
Chris Street.
He was at Iowa, for a year?
That's
and then
right.
Transferred to SIU?
Transferred
early
90s,
right?
You guys became
right.
buddies?
That's right. Yeah, we became buddies down there, and he led Southern, helped lead Southern to the 94 and 95 NCAA tournaments down there. So, Paul, a great kid, and just a guy, as you found out, just a super guy.
Easy guy to work with. Just
super.
A real outgoing, nice personality. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of good candidates for this job.
Absolutely.
I personally, maybe I'm biased here, I think that's a good coaching job.
It's a very good coaching
especially
job.
Especially in the Valley. I mean, look, is Bradley as good of a coaching job as Illinois? I mean, of course not. But
well,
when
right.
you look at mid-major jobs in the Valley, you know, it could be the second best job behind Creighton, possibly. They've, you know, got brand new facilities.
Mm-hmm.
They play at, you know, the Peoria Civic Center. Carver Arena is a great place. Real hostile environment when the crowd gets rocking and the fans are passionate. And Peoria, what a great place to play in Peoria.
Just a basketball town, right?
They love basketball in Peoria. People in Peoria love Bradley basketball. And what a great place as far as recruiting. You've got Chicago nearby, St. Louis nearby, Indianapolis nearby. So you got somebody who can establish there. But lots of good recruits, of course. I know you've touched on the potential, you know, Illini assistants or whatever, but there's going to be a lot of good candidates for this job. So,
and you could bring Hersey Hawkins in to talk to a potential recruit.
That would not hurt.
Right? I mean, a guy that played at Bradley was an All-American, I think, at Bradley. I could be wrong. And then played in the NBA for many
he
years.
He is our claim to fame.
That's awesome.
He is big time. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Hersey Hawkins. How about that name?
I remember when he was with the Supersonics.
Nice.
In 95, 96.
He had a good NBA career.
He did.
Yeah. And he was a very good shooting guard.
That's, wow, what a name from the past.
Yeah. Well, here's him and Les played together, by the way, I believe.
Who?
I believe Les
and
Hawkins.
Now, how many years, Les was in the NBA, right?
Yeah, he played in the NBA.
And for a good amount of years, or?
I don't know.
Kind of a journeyman, if anything?
Maybe like, I don't know, 5 or 7 or something.
Okay.
That's just off the top of my head. But I mean, he won the three-point shootout. That's kind of his claim to fame, which is cool. I mean,
that
he can shoot.
Neat.
Yeah, that's
so,
very cool.
I mean, just
probably when they actually had good contestants in it. Well, I know the dunk contest
and
three-point contest.
Just
kind
to
of,
play in the NBA, though, I mean, we totally just take that for granted. I mean, that's a big deal.
It is.
It's not an easy thing.
No, and we interviewed Jim early before the season started, and he joked about he's not the biggest guy. So to be able to play in the NBA at his size, especially,
mm-hmm.
He had to have been a nitty-gritty guy.
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, that's
and he
awesome.
Did a lot of good things for the program.
Sure.
And, you know, it's tough to see it happen, but, you know, it was a decision, I guess, that they felt they needed to make, and here you go.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I asked Jim Mattson about, I said, boy, I thought Les would be a perfect spot for that. He disagreed. He did not think at the time that Les would be a good coach at Bradley. because he didn't have the head coaching experience, and he still wonders to this day if that hurt him.
I don't know if he had not even head coaching experience. Did he have any coaching experience?
I don't think so.
I didn't necessarily have an opinion at the time. I wasn't really connected with Bradley. He was there a couple years before I was, but it was a calculated risk they took. I mean, you bring in an NBA guy like that. Hey, at the mid-major level, though, you can roll the dice with somebody like that.
I agree.
And you've seen it work. You go get an assistant coach from a big program, bring him in and say, hey, we're going to give you a chance to see what you got, and that's what you do. And they rolled the dice, and hey, it worked out for a little bit, and you know, kind of ran its course.
That's perfect. Matt Wetterston from WCIA with us. Mike Carpenter. Jeremy's going to be here soon on the Tay and Jay Show. 359-CALL, 217-359-2255. If you guys out there have anything on your minds regarding, I heard the Cardinal game a little bit on the way in, and it was 7-6 Cardinals, so a shootout down there. Hopefully the Tuscola guys that are down in Florida, they called us yesterday. We might get an update from spring training. That's what we do here. I mean, we get updates from Florida. I mean, we've got them all over the place. It's crazy. All right, let's talk Big Ten tournament action when we come back. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.